All right, welcome back to it. All right, so keeping the Bernie theme going here for a minute more, the guy that really made Medicare for All a mainstream conversation, if you will, or at least a conversation being had by all the Democrat candidates who all support the idea now, by the way. It was considered an extreme idea. Now everybody's talking about it on the left. Joining me, Justin Haskins, the editorial director and research fellow at the Heartland Institute. Justin, welcome back.
Thanks for having me.
So when you talk about this, in 2016, it was kind of an outlandish idea. But it's been going forward, ever since Hillary Clinton put it out there in 1993, Barack Obama with the Affordable Care Act in 2009 and 10. Now Bernie Sanders is basically a system of everybody's covered, but the fee, the cost, the overwhelming tax increase is stifling. Bernie says, oh, you'll pay less, you'll pay less. No, you won't. Well, you're not going to pay for insurance and so forth. In the end, we'll pay more and get less. That's what I believe, because that's been true of every model around the world. Justin, am I wrong?
No. What's going to end up happening with Medicare for All is that the cost is so incredibly high, as you pointed out, so incredibly high. We're talking $32 trillion to $38 trillion, and I think that $38 trillion might even be a conservative estimate, over a 10-year period. This is a massive amount of money that would require basically doubling all tax revenues across the country, regardless of your tax bracket, just in order to offset the cost of Medicare for All. And that assumes the $32 trillion figure. So at the Heartland Institute, we did an analysis. We looked at how much we think it's going to cost in increased taxes, income taxes, even if you account for increased business taxes and other things, how much will it cost individual tax filers? And what we found was that there are going to be some people who are going to save money. If you're sick, and for instance, you have very high deductibles and that sort of thing, if you're in a really bad Obamacare plan and you earn, say, $30,000, $40,000, something in that range, you're probably going to save some money. However, if you earn $50,000 or more, it's very likely that you're going to lose money because the tax increases are going to offset any savings that you might see. So if you earn $50,000 to $75,000 a year, our analysis showed you'll probably see a tax increase of $7,000 to $9,000. That's just an additional federal tax.
Per year.
And if you earn $75,000 to $100,000, we estimate $12,000 to $15,000 in increased annual taxes.
So wait a second.
For you Medicare for All.
Wait a second. $100,000, did you say $15,000 tax bill?
If you earn $75,000 to $100,000, we're expecting a $12,000 to $15,000 increase.
All right, so a 12 to 15% tax. All right, so that's more by far than people currently pay for the health insurance when they do pay for it. I mean, it's not, I don't even have to look at the numbers. I know that.
Yeah, no, that's absolutely true. So in our analysis, we think 40 to 60 million households, not people, households, will end up paying more in taxes than they'll get back in benefits.
60 million households. So how many people are we talking about? 100 million people?
It's really difficult to tell, but we think the vast majority of people who have employer-sponsored health insurance will probably see an increase in cost. So that's about 180 million people are enrolled in that right now. So it's very likely that it will be 100 million or more.
So, we've all been pretty clear and clear-eyed about this and understand the claims by Bernie and Kamala Harris and Elizabeth Warren that you'll save money. Absolutely absurd.
Yeah, absolutely absurd. Again, there are some people who will save money, but only at the expense of all these other people who are going to lose money. And the reason why that's the case is because our tax system, the way it's set up, and I think most regular folks understand this, is that the people who are working, half the country is basically paying for the other half of the country. And so if you're going to have this new big program that's going to cost tens of trillions of dollars, that tax burden is more likely than not going to fall on the half that's already paying for most of the bills or almost all the bills.
Well, that makes sense.
That's exactly the situation that we're talking about here.
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, obviously, the working people that are making $75,000, $100,000, I hate to see the tax bill for somebody who's making, you know, $250,000 between mom and dad because they did what they were supposed to do. They went to college, they worked hard, they got good grades, they got good jobs. Now, collectively, They're making $250,000. Of course, they're villains now in the world put forth by the Democrats because they're the rich. Wait a second. They're wealthy because they became a physician's assistant and an attorney or whatever they did, right? They became professionals and got rewarded for it financially. But we villainize those folks today, Justin.
Yeah, we absolutely do. And just to sort of highlight how insane this whole system is, if you're actually going to try to pay for it, then yes, those who earn $200,000, $500,000, they are going to see massive, massive tax increases in order to pay for Medicare for All. $500,000 to $1 million, if you fall into that, which would be a lot of small business owners, successful small business owners, we're talking about tax increases well over $100,000 a year. Just to pay for healthcare,
and here's the thing that people don't realize. That's capital. Those are resources that could have been invested in a business, into real estate, into other things that would have created prosperity and created other opportunities for the entire economy and the other. It will be a stranglehold on everything. It'll bring it all to a screeching standstill. Justin Haskins here, editorial director, research fellow at the Heartland Institute. I'll give you the last word, Justin. Where do we go from here? How do we prevent this train wreck from occurring?
Well, I mean, there are many different ways that we can fix our healthcare system. No one is defending that the current healthcare system works well. Obamacare has been a complete disaster. Premiums and deductibles have doubled since Obamacare was created. But we need to introduce free market reforms into the health insurance system. The idea that this is a free market system is complete nonsense. It's not. We need direct primary care. That will reduce costs significantly because you'll be able to go to your doctor and create a healthcare agreement directly with your doctor.
But Justin, you're missing the big point.
Health savings accounts. There's all kinds of great ideas that have been around for decades.
Yeah, those are great, Justin. Those are great. But you can't buy votes that way. So you got to look at what's really going on. Justin, I got to leave it right there. Justin Haskins, editorial director, research fellow at the Heartland Institute. Always a pleasure, my friend.
Thanks. Take care.
There you have it. Quick break. It's the Steve Gruber Show. Confessions.